Hello, this is Arki Andruski, and welcome to my commentary for my Gunstar Heroes TAS. Gunstar Heroes is my third TAS submitted and published to the site. I took it on because I saw Jacket's TAS and realized that it was incredibly outdated. And while there was talk of improving that TAS, no one seemed to be doing the work. So I decided, with my experience of two TASs, that I would be the right person for the job. This commentary will cover some of my mental processes when going through the TAS, as well as some of my favorite moments in entertainment and possible improvements if you're going for a pure speedrun. Keep in mind that some of these improvements may involve a sacrifice in entertainment. I'm watching on an AVI, so if you're watching on an emulator, you may fall behind, depending on how good your computer is. Starting the AVI in 3, 2, 1. Right. First improvement right off the bat. Make both of your gunners free, give them both the four shot, and go to green stage first. Green stage is an auto-scroller, which means that you can switch guns without wasting time. The reason for giving them both the four shot will be covered later. I mentioned in my submission notes that I wanted each stage to be different as possible. For pink stage, I decided to run and shoot everything in sight, killing as many enemies as I can on the screen. For Papaya Dance, there's a small improvement. Notice that when throwing, I throw from the ground the entire time. If you jump a little bit before throwing, you might be able to shave some frames off of it. It might be worth it to stick with Double Fire for Papaya Dance, because as far as I know, Double Fire is the only gun that locks Papaya Dance in the upright position. The thing I just killed is called a Phantom. Phantoms have to be killed before the game advances, and they have the annoying habit of becoming invulnerable every once in a while. So my goal when dealing with Phantoms was to keep him from becoming invulnerable as much as possible. I get better at this as the run goes along. Bravoo Man has an interesting thing in that he doesn't stay still, so just throwing up and down is not the best strategy. I use a combination of throws, body attacks, and guns to take him down. For the heal, I continue my strategy of killing everything in sight. I might have killed a few things a little bit earlier. Someone suggested on the forums that I leapfrog during the segment, and I decided to honor that request. So, after throwing my partner off the mountain to get a little bit of a head start, we head towards the boss of Pink Stage, Pink herself. This is one of the main advantages of having a free shot gunner. Using a free shot, I am able to dodge the bullets that come towards me as I stand between the guy's legs. I'm also able to use the small invincibility time when you're throwing your partner to let a few shots pass right through me. With that, Pink is down, and we're on to the next stage. By this point, I was ahead of Jacket's run, which I found pretty surprising since I wasn't expecting that to happen. Jacket played on normal, which means that his guns are more effective. The idea of riding with a flame chaser was brought up in the forums, and I liked the idea a lot, so I made a few phrases that I wanted to put into the run and spread them throughout the entire length. I also tried to find a good moment to comment on the game or to just do something random. For this stage, I take advantage of the physics of the cars to float back and forth between the tracks, which is incredibly hard in real time. I also try to have as much motion as possible on the screen, since this is an auto-scroller. For those trains, as long as you kill them before the cycle repeats, you'll get it as fast as possible. That last person that I killed becomes vulnerable right before he leaves the screen, but stays vulnerable as he's off the screen. So if you're good enough, you can kill him while he's off screen and skip the train car coming back. So, I guess at this point I should cover why I think that Double Force is the right gun to go with. Double Force is one of the four guns that does four damage a frame in Expert. The others are Chaser, Flame Chaser, and Lightning Saber. Double Force, however, has the advantage of having a long range, as well as not causing that much lag. It has an advantage over the Chaser because its shots are faster. There are times in the run where I'm moving faster than the Chaser can fire, and that causes me to drop frames of damage when I'm using the Chaser. For these three trains in a row, it becomes more obvious that you need to hit them before the next rotation. This last train, I just barely missed getting the next rotation, so if you can figure out a way to kill these guys faster, by all means, that would be another improvement. And here's our first meeting with Smash Daisuke. He's a boss that returns multiple times throughout the game. Speaking of things to do with the Flame Chaser, here I sign my name and add in the Taz disclaimer. So even if there isn't a watermark on the movie, you still know that it's a Taz because I tell you right here. Seven Force is a real pain. First off, he has those seven forms, and you're forced to use the gunner. You're forced to use your guns when fighting him. Also, the boss will cause lag. I've been firing at him with one gunner and with a gun that doesn't cause that much lag, and he still caused me to lag out. For this, I decided whether or not to use the Flame Chaser or the Chaser based off the boss's pattern and what I needed to do. With a fixed shot character, which is what Player 2 is. Whenever I'm firing the gun, I have to stay in one position. Sometimes it's easier to not worry about staying close to the boss and just hover your Flame Chaser in him. Other times you want to follow the boss around and stay close to him, or it's a little bit easier to stay close to the boss. In this case, the Chaser's a bit better because it causes less lag. You may not have noticed this because I've found that I have to point this out every time I'm watching the movie with another person in the room. But as I'm going through the seven force forms, I'm using the Flame Chaser to count down the forms. In this fight, you can see what I mean about the Chaser going a little bit slower than the gunner. There are frames where the boss doesn't take damage because I'm moving away from him with my gunner. Urchin Force, I believe, is one of the few bosses in the Seven Force forms that's not that improvable. The other one would be this guy, Gun Force. Keep in mind that if you're hovering right next to the boss, as I am doing, you will have to turn around to make sure that you're hitting the boss on every single frame. Speaking of bosses that are a pain, this is another one of them, along with Tails Force. Eagle Force and Tails Force seems to be the two bosses that are most likely to cause lag. They're also the two bosses that are hardest to deal with if you're using a fixed character. And now we're down to the last boss, Crab Force. Now, I could have both gunners hover in front of the boss and shoot like I have Player 1 doing, but I decided to put Player 2 on the right side so that he can dodge a few of the projectiles. Player 1 is in a position where he's not really in any danger of being hit, ever. Speaking of the Gunners, pretty early in my run, I decided that the two players would have a slightly different personality. I'm not sure how well it comes across in the actual run, but Player 1, since he's the free shot character, is supposed to be the more active and hyper character, while Player 2 is more laid back and passive. There are certain moments where you can see this happening, and I wish I would have been able to take advantage of that a little bit more than I do. So, I really enjoy what I came up with for the third stage. I decided here to play around a little bit with the ship, which you can land on, despite it not seeming like you should be able to. Also, jumping around and having fun with the level. I noticed when playing with the ship that if you hit that section that I just did with Player 2, it'll cause you to warp up really quickly. So I take advantage of it to show off that little glitch. There's Player 1 in the window. Continuous wall jumping off the ship actually took a little bit longer than I thought it would. What happens is the platforms usually get in the way, so I had to make sure that I never landed on a platform, which involved jumping a little bit more precisely. One of my rules for going up to this battle on the top is that every time I threw a bomb, it had to explode. Sometimes this wasn't as easy as I thought it would be. I also take advantage of the platforms to change direction really quickly as they're warping by. Player 2 watches an enemy fall to the left. This Phantom wasn't much of a problem. He never goes invulnerable, and I can throw my partners into him. Hell, if only all of them were that easy. So swapping reg goes down really quickly. When I was playing through Orange's stage, there was a little glitch that caused the screen to go crazy for about a minute. And it took me forever to figure out how to not make that glitch happen, or to make it happen for less time. After a while, it seemed like the only thing I could do was to make it happen, was to not have it happen, or have it happen for a full minute. And a full minute was way too long, so I decided to skip the glitch altogether. Smash Daisuke is another example of a boss that goes invulnerable every once in a while. Every time you body attack him, he will start blinking. So my goal for him was to body attack him at the last possible second. Orange has an interesting feature in that he doesn't take damage from throws until the first two times he goes invulnerable, which is why I don't start throwing him until he goes invulnerable twice. However, Orange does have a few animations that allows you to body attack him, which makes him a little easier. There's a small improvement on Orange. The second to last time I throw him, I don't throw him at the earliest frame possible to be able to defeat him in one throw. So you can throw him a little bit earlier on the second to last time. I throw my character up in the air to get that comical flop position as they're falling down. Okay, now it's time to start Black Stage. For this, I decided to go for a more pacifist route. If you notice, there are very few shots fired during this stage, and that was on purpose on my part. This Phantom coming up is probably the best Phantom that I had to deal with. He appears right here. I body attacked him while he was kind of blocking, and then just threw him, which means he never really went invulnerable. So, I take a slightly different route through the dice maze than you might have expected, but I found overall that it was shorter because the boss fights in general were shorter, even though it involved throwing the dice a few more times. The glitch you just saw, where two players enter the boss fight, involves throwing your player to the side of the screen at the exact right time. It has a one-frame leeway, but I was able to do it a few times in real time. just stand on the right side of the screen and mash the B button while pointing right, or pointing left, depending on which player is throwing the other character. If you notice, I'm not really throwing the dice down, I'm more dropping them. That's another throw glitch that was found in the speedrun on SDA. This is one of my favorite little moments in the site. The music combined with the stop motion serves to make it a little bit awkward, as the gunners look right and left wondering, well, what do we do now? So, as I went through the dice maze, I realized that there were some times where it didn't specify which player should throw it. That meant that I could have the same player throw two times in a row, which I took advantage of quite a few times. For example, right here, player one just threw, and he's going to throw again. However, this meant that a couple of times I had to throw three dice in one rotation. Now, the place where I researched about the glitch said that in Curry and Rice you can fire one shot and it'll take the boss down. I didn't find that to be the case, because the shots still do the same amount of damage as they usually do, 4 damage a frame, and also he becomes vulnerable at the same time. So really, if you can find a way to hit him when he still has 0 health, that might be another improvement, but I don't think it's possible. So here, after getting used to the partner going to the side and throwing off, I decided to psych you out and have player 1 escape from player 2. Player 2 wasn't happy about that, so he's fired 3 shots after him, which player 1 then promptly dodged. Now, there is no time improvement that comes from bringing both players into the final boss fight. However, I figured that this was more entertaining to see both players dick around while the final tally takes place. Now, there's a small improvement in Black's fight. You may notice that on this second throw right here, the player goes above Black's hitbox. If you throw diagonally into Black, the throw will be lower and you'll have more frames when you're inside Black's hitbox. So I attack the advantage of having two players to allow player one to be an idiot while player two realizes the ruse. And Black throws the jewel and we're on to the next stage. Capture Yellow is just a straight run, but there are some interesting things that happen during this. For this, I go back to shooting, not quite shooting everything in sight as I was doing in the first level, but still shooting quite a bit. Using the flying things as bombs is probably the biggest shortcut there. If you didn't notice, there was a Phantom down there on the right side who threw a bomb into a barrel and then walked into his own explosion. Every single Phantom on this stage can be killed by an explosion. It's just a matter of luring them into that explosion. So I do that for all 3 Phantoms, and they go down pretty quickly. For those giant walkers, either a body attack to them or throwing either an enemy or your partner into them will take them down really rather quickly. If you try to do it any other way, they are quite a hassle to deal with. So here's a small regret entertainment-wise. I actually had enough time to really take my time saying long cutscene here. but I instead rush through it, and it kind of defeats the purpose of complaining about the length of the cutscene. If you notice, I still had quite a bit more time to go through. Now, this version of Smash Daisuke has this attack where he spins around a few times. During that time he spins around, he cannot become invulnerable, which means that you can body attack him and throw your partner into him at that time. I take advantage of that to take off a lot of health, and even wait a bit, because I know that one of those animations coming up. Now, this is probably the quickest way to deal with Smash Daisuke, but I admit that it's not really that entertaining. So if you can find another way to do it really quickly, and also up the entertainment, that would be great. And speaking of long cutscenes, here comes another one. Stage clear is on the screen right now. So after going through all the trouble to get the jewels, we just give them to the enemy anyways. And it seems to turn out that we didn't have to, because while Smash Daisuke starts gloating to us, a little midget from Pink Stage comes along and unties Yellow's ropes and frees her. After that, they carry Smash Daisuke up, and we don't have to deal with him again after that. So, obviously for the space shooter, I decided to make Player 2 the pod because of the Flame Chaser, and because of the things that I was planning to do with the Flame Chaser during this stage. So my goals for this stage was to, of course, up the entertainment as much as possible. Also, one of my rules for the stage was that player 1 should never take any damage. Player 2 is in effect invincible during this stage, so you really don't have to worry about that. Also, the pod can be used as a shield and to defeat enemies, which is something that I do a few times throughout this run. This little thing that I'm doing with the Flame Chaser right now is supposed to be a charge shot. I'm not quite sure how well this comes across, though. With a charge shot, one of the things that I wanted to do was make sure that every single enemy in those groups of five pods that come to attack us is destroyed every single time I use a charge shot. Which is why the last one goes off at a diagonal rather than going straight ahead, which is what the shot would usually do. Now, the point of the Timurom boss is to last as long as possible, but in a speed run, that's kind of not what you do. That's also why he seems to be incredibly easy. So for these asteroids, I decide to just dodge through them rather than shooting them off, which is something that you can do. I wanted to destroy as few of them as possible with the pod, but the guy kept on getting in the way. Shield is one of my favorite effects, and it's actually a working shield too, since one of Flame Chaser's abilities is to block bullets. Here you can see the pod being used in kind of the same capacity. So here's another place where I wanted to dodge as much as possible and kill as few enemies as possible just to make it a little bit harder on myself. I still kill a few enemies accidentally and block a few shots that I didn't want to, but it came off pretty well, I think. For the pinball, of course, player 2 plays the ball and player 1 plays the flipper. And if you watch player one down there, you'll notice that every once in a while the lightning saber goes up. The first time I did it, I showed it to Muzu, and he said that the trajectory of the ball looked a little bit arbitrary. So I went through again and tried to make sure that the bounces looked believable, which was a little bit hard because if you bounce off an asteroid, very often they will change direction. The goals for these guys was just basically to drop through them. On the last one, I wanted to do as little motion as possible while still not taking any damage. I had to tap right just once to get out of that. So anyways, even in real time, I was able to dodge through those shots, not taking any damage, and not blocking any of the shots. It's actually a lot easier than it might look. After we get done with that gunner, we have the last gun of the game. The last gun meaning the last gun that I haven't used yet, which is coming up there. That last thing is supposed to be an arrow, and I'm not really sure how well that comes out. So anyways, I take advantage of perfect reflexes to dodge through these guys without either hitting them or taking damage from them. So here is the Lightning Chaser, which is pretty much a useless gun in Expert. So I take the advantage to demonstrate how useless it is by putting it on that little ship and just basically having it on the ship the entire time the ship is on screen. And even though I do that, it still doesn't kill that ship by the end. On the other hand, I'm killing as many enemies as I can with the pod in a combination of the Chaser Lightning whenever it gets free from the ship. Boom, boom, boom. Sorry, that was a sync point right there. So here's Seven Force again, and again he is still a pain. He still has a tendency to cause lag. Also, on top of that, he moves around a lot, which means that you have to really chase him around the screen. I try to manipulate him as much as possible to going into the forms that stand still, which means that I can stay in the same place and just fire at him, which means that the fight goes across a lot quicker. But there's only so much manipulation you can do with this boss, I think. With that, Seven Force is defeated, and we're on to a short little hallway. For here, I just basically ignore the enemies, because really, they don't get in my way that much. And also, there are only three of them. So this boss is the core, and you'll notice by this point, I've learned to jump before throwing my partner. The reason that you jump before throwing your partner is you want the top of your partner's throw to hover basically at the top of the boss's hitbox. That way there's a small section of time where the partner is just staying in the hitbox, and it goes by a lot quicker. That form could possibly be improved by a little bit, but it would take a lot of work, I'd say. By the way, this game isn't friendly to hex edits, so if you want to go through to an improvement, you're going to have to go through the entire game, especially if you have an improvement that happens on the first level. So after that, we've got this monstrosity. He's not really that hard to defeat, and because he does mostly stay in the same place, although he does move just a little bit, but it's really not that much to deal with. So now we're on to the final stage of the game. If you notice, I think in one of these fights, I take advantage of the diagonal throw. Yeah, right there. So this guy goes down in one pass, like the schmuck he is. This fight, I think, is rather good. The invulnerability of times worked, and I managed to throw him at the right times as well. So I really didn't have to fall there, but I decided that it would be more interesting to do so. So here's Pink's final form. She has a few interesting things about her. I take advantage very often of the invulnerability during certain body attacks to whittle her HP down quicker. And with a twinkle in the sky, Team Pink is blasting off again. So, dealing with Orange is pretty much the same as last time. He has a few more animations than before where he's completely invulnerable, which I decide to take advantage of. And if I feel that he's going to go into one of those animations before he becomes vulnerable again, I neglect throwing him because I want to take advantage of those animations. I think I said that already. So, although I took a lot of damage during that fight, it was all in the name of speed, so it works. So here's an improvement on Black's fight. If possible, destroy the right jewel first. I read on a FAQ somewhere that the jewels decide what attack he uses. So if you were to destroy the right jewel, you would get the attack that fires straight down rather than the one that goes into rotation, and that might give you more free rein to deal with Black. So now we get to deal with Green as a gunner, and he's probably the best choice for the final of the four main bosses. I know some people complained about Green's fight being a little bit repetitive, but I think it's a little bit fun watching the gunners dodge through all his stars. And there are quite a few close calls as they're jumping back and forth across him. But I found that basically after throwing him, that's what he does. And when you're shooting at him, he gets stun locked. So really, if you want to go as fast as possible, you're going to be stuck in this pattern. If you see right there, I did the second to last throw at the soonest point possible because, well, that's faster. So anyways, Eat at Joe's is kind of a running gag on Taz videos, and which meant that I absolutely had to get it into the run somewhere, so I decided on this point for it to be there. Gold and Silver was kind of tough to deal with because his vulnerable spots have a really small target, and it's really hard to get your gunner to hover into in one of them. The vulnerable spots, by the way, are those jewels that are floating above him. Dealing with him in his first form isn't too bad because, well, really, all you have to do is body attack him and he'll go away. In this form, it becomes a lot harder to deal with the jewels. I try to body attack them as much as possible, but really, if you want to go through it, you're going to have to shoot them as well, quite a bit. And in fact, I think I do more damage with them shooting them than I do with the body attacks. So, here's an improvement that I noticed quite a bit later. Switch to the blue jewel as soon as possible. The reason for this is that the blue jewel actually stays still when it's attacking, which means that if you time it right, you can get your gunner to hover at the top of the throw inside the blue jewel, which means that the hit points will go down faster. In a true chaser tradition, I end the run really early so you can see the chaser circling around before the final hit. That also meant that both gunners took a hit, but they survived, so it's all okay. Anyways, I hope you found this run informative and interesting. This is Arkandruski, signing out.